Choosing not to choose. Culture, history, and the train spotting soundtrack with Craig Shufton.
It was the mid-90s and it was Oasis and Blur and it was train spotting and it was just the most amazing time.
Just in time for the new millennium, Britpop seemed poised to do what no other cultural movement of the last century had done, to close the gap between art and everyday life. For as long as anyone could remember, the problem with art had been that all the good stuff was unpopular and all the popular stuff was not good. Now it seemed this situation had been reversed. Damien Hirst's work was in the Tate and in Loaded magazine. Damon Albarn could talk about Brecht and Marx and still write hits you could sing along to with your grandma. As a phenomenally popular movie with a nihilistic heroin addict for its hero, Trainspotting was seen as part of this new wave. Its equally popular soundtrack album cemented the connection, since it featured songs by Blur, Pulp, Elastica and Sleeper.
Danny Boyle did a very clever thing and he sort of brought all the kind of Britpop luminaries and however in and asked them all to do songs for it.
Oasis were conspicuous by their absence, but at the premiere in 1996, Noel Gallagher still had nice things to say about the film.
Our group's all about being honest and being real, and I think Trainspotting is just an honest, real, you know, film, and it just tells it like it is, really, you know.
Noel's words are very much in tune with the times. Britpop, like its estranged cousin grunge, was obsessed with its own authenticity, and its best bands and songs were celebrated most of all for their realness. But what makes some music real and other music not? How do you define authenticity in rock and roll? Well, for Oasis and their fans, it meant real work, rock and roll hammered out in real time by real people playing guitars, an antidote to the synthesized pop and dance music that had ruled the charts through the 80s and early 90s. It also had to do with subject matter, as Noel's words at the Trainspotting premiere reflect. Oasis sang about white lines on their debut album because...
That's a part of fucking life. We all snort white lines every day.
Exactly.
Likewise, Trainspotting showed junkies shooting up, stealing stuff and dying because that's what junkies do. Damien Hirst's work was seen in similar, if slightly more philosophical terms. By showing us a shark in a tank, he was simply telling it like it is. This, he seemed to be saying, is life. Hirst's friends in Blur had done a lot to create this new climate. Damon Albarn said he hated grunge because it didn't reflect English life. He filled his work with local references in a self-conscious attempt to create authentically English popular music. But with Blur, the definition of authentic becomes blurry. The lyric of Girls and Boys is as authentic as you can get, a blow-by-blow description of the doings of English kids on holidays. But the music is pure new wave disco. How was this authentic? Here, Albarn took the line that Andy Warhol and the pop artists had used in the 60s. He insisted that pop, crass mass-market pop, is more authentic than anything because it's what people want. Pop is the sound of plastic pubs and suburban bingo nights and sticky-floored discos like the one Renton finds Diane in Trainspotting. As he chases her out the door and into the street, the DJ plays Sleeper's cover of Blondie's Atomic, a dreamy disco number with a lyric about a boy with beautiful hair and not much else. This kind of thing, thanks to Albarn's rhetoric, became part of the Britpop ideal. Music for the masses. What could be more authentic than that? All of this sounds impressively democratic, but it doesn't really make sense. If your definition of authenticity is honest subject matter and good musicianship, then you can claim the popularity of Britpop as a victory. But if you define the authentic as being whatever people really want, then your argument becomes circular. Parklife is popular because it's authentic, and it's authentic because it's popular. And what happens when it stops being popular? This year, people really want Country House and Roll With It and Trainspotting. But what about next year, when they really want Robbie Williams and the Spice Girls and Titanic? Will those things become more authentic than Britpop, just because they're what people really, really want?
Choosing not to choose.